Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all those who are listening to us out there in technology land on the internet, however you may be hearing us. We're glad that you joined us here at Faith Baptist Church, coming live from Bethesda, Texas, and this Resurrection Sunday morning. And certainly thankful for the Lord's resurrection. I saw a flap yesterday when I attacked. It was a sacred cow, a sacred bunny, a sacred egg, or whatever you want to call it. Just got tired of hearing about Easter magic. And I guess it is magic. Easter magic. But it has nothing to do with Jesus. The world can have all the Easter magic. It can try to do everything it can to detract from the Lord's resurrection. And that's all that is. That's all that Satan. And I know people say, oh, you're spooky. You want to come up with all kinds of weird, spooky ideas. No. The reality is that we live in a world that is governed by God. There is a enemy called Satan, and he wants to attack the works of God. That's not uncommon knowledge. That's very plain knowledge. All we have to do is try to live for God, and we'll find out. It's very simple to find out. It's plain and real. Try to live for God. You'll find out real quick. I think most of the people who don't believe that Satan's real have never tried to live for God. That's probably why they don't believe that. If you've never stepped out and tried to walk by faith, if you've ever tried to step out and walk by faith, if you've ever had to trust God when you didn't have anything else, then you know that Satan will cause all kinds of problems in your life. And so, yes, when we come to this time of year, which marks the anniversary of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, it's no surprise to me that the world has not believed it. God made it time for man to live in, and since God told Adam in the Garden of Eden about that Christ was coming, he preached the gospel to them, and when he killed the animals and covered them in skins, he was preaching the gospel to them that the Lamb of God would come. And as my friend Michelle up in Arkansas said on Facebook yesterday, she said, it's not about the money, it's about the Lamb. And it is about the Lamb, it's about Jesus. And this world is trying to come up with everything it can, and it's built strong, rooted traditions all around family and togetherness and church, even, that are tied to Babylon. They're tied to the Tower of Babel. They're tied to Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, and the worship of fertility gods such as bunnies and eggs and all those things. And Satan's always tried to mimic or counterfeit anything that God has. And of course, I don't believe that we ought to set aside just one day of the year to celebrate the Lord's resurrection. I believe that if we're truly washed in His blood, if we're truly saved by His grace, and if His resurrection truly justifies us before God, then we ought to celebrate that every single day we live and not just one day out of the year. So to all those who are out there hiding Easter eggs today and eating chocolate Easter bunnies and all that, you know what? I just say to them, you need to take a hard look at your Christianity if that's what you think is part of it. Because once you come to the realization that God's right and everything else is wrong, you have to throw away some of your little toys. And if it offends you, you need it. So hang off the cuff of that. It'll be all right. Sometimes we need offending. But you know what? God says, grace is they that love thy law, and nothing will offend you. So if we love God's truth, then our traditions won't get in the way. Jesus said, if a man loves his mother, his father, his wife, his brethren, more than me, he's not worthy of me. And I certainly think that our traditions are of less importance than those ones in our life that we love. So we should love them more than we love him. But anyway, I'm going to go off my high horse so everybody can calm their nerves if they got one set. So let's turn in our Bible to John chapter 6, verses 60 through 71, and we're going to pick up where we left off. I said we're going to read. I'm going to read back a little bit further back because just to understand where we're at. For those maybe who did not tune in last week, let me see where I want to start back at. It won't hurt us to be able to read this morning. So let's turn back to verse 22. All right. Jesus is, again, Jesus, this is after the disciples have sailed across the Sea of Galilee. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. This is after the Jesus walking on the water, Peter walking on the water with Jesus. After all that, he gets to the other side. They've laid people in the streets. Jesus is walking the streets, healing people. And the crowd that was over there at 8 on the other side, the 8 loaves and the fishes, now they have sailed, they've hitchhiked and caught them some fishing boats, and now they've sailed to the other side of where Jesus is. And the Bible says that they followed when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none of the boat there, save the one where it could get the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they had eaten bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's very important right there. He's teaching them that, he's teaching us rather, and he's teaching them to something. He's teaching them that their minds were only on this reality. Their minds, those people that came to those boats, they weren't interested in eternal things. They were only interested in today. Okay? They're only interested in what can help me this minute, not what do I need forever. That's exactly what's wrong with the crowd. See, they got food, immediate gratification right there. They're all sitting around on that hillside, rubbing their small bellies, going, oh, I hardly breathe. Oh, man. And these people weren't used to getting full. These are people who often were begging for food. We're often having to dig through trash to find food. Some of them. Others were used to eating, but in that economy, in that day, in that world that they lived in back then, there wasn't a whole lot of overabundance and plenty. People didn't just have everything. It's not like America. Okay? It wasn't just a whole lot of overweight people running around. There wasn't people overweight, so they didn't have a whole lot to overeat. So they weren't used to eating a lot, and they got their belly full. So they thought, wow, hey, here's a ticket to get a free belly. We got to get on that boat and get over and find him. He got lots of food with him. They were only thinking about right now. That's what he's pointing out to them here. When he said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles. Hey, listen, they saw him break those 5 loaves and those 2 fishes. They saw that. You couldn't be there and realize that there weren't, a net full of fish. You couldn't be there and realize they didn't haul a bakery truck, back it up there and bring all the loaves in. They saw him do that, but it didn't register. He's a miracle worker. All that registered with them, he sat and taught them, didn't he? Went in one ear, out the other. Years ago, I used to go down to Harris Junior College one day out of the month. There was a man there, a pastor there. He asked me to come do it. He had what was called a Baptist student mission, and it was tied to Southern Baptist Convention. And he was a pastor, I think, in Dodge City on the other side of Honey Grove. And he was leading that, coordinating that. And what they would do, they'd make a big pot of soup, and they'd make a big pot of chili. And they had lunch there on that particular day. And anybody and everybody that was at Parish Junior College that was hungry could come to the Baptist Student Mission and could sit down and get a bowl of soup or get a bowl of chili. And all they had to do was sit there and listen to preaching while they were eating.
there was a lot of people that came just to eat. I remember one, it was a man named Chris, and from where I'm standing, he was sitting at that table right there, and he was sleeping. He had pentagram tattoos and all kinds of evil devils looking tattoos all over him. He was a Satanist, an atheist. He hated God. He hated the idea of God. He hated the idea of anybody being over him at all. But yet he come and he sent me these new children, and he sat there and just smiled at me while I preached. It's because he was enjoying the food. It was free. It was a blessing, but he didn't receive it as a blessing. He just looked at it and said, hey, I'm getting free food. And I just sat there and eat. I ain't got to pay attention. He joked to me. I was a joke. So there's a lot of people that they come, man, they'll absorb the fellowship, they'll absorb the food, they'll absorb everything that's given to them, the nice, comfy place to sit, the people around them, and they'll sit there and suffer through the preacher, and they'll nod off, or they'll look at their watch, or they'll play with their phone, and they ignore what's being said, but they receive everything temporal. They receive all the benefits, the physical benefits, of being around the church, but yet they have nothing inside of them. That happens so very much. And again, this morning, and I pray to God, don't get me wrong, I pray to God that every single lost person that comes to a house of God this morning and hears the preacher preach the gospel, I hope and I pray that every single one of them get under conviction and they realize that their sins are ever before God and they need to be forgiven. And I pray that the Holy Ghost tells them that Christ will wipe their sins away. And I pray they all come and kneel at the cross and get saved. I pray they will. But let's be honest, there's a lot of them that just come to the Easter egg hunt. Let's be honest. There's a lot of them that came just because they're going to have a lot of cash flows out on the table themselves. Now, so I know there's a lot of people that say, well, preacher, we got to do something to get them in here. I know I serve a meal after church every week. I know. But you know what? I do that as a curse. This is the real food. This is the real thing. I realize, by putting food out after church, feeding everybody at church, listen, they're not doing anything that Jesus didn't do. But he didn't borrow fertility gods to hide out of their ass. He didn't borrow from the pagan world to do it. But I'm telling you, and that's not a reason to say, well, we shouldn't have church, we shouldn't have fellowship meals, we shouldn't invite people to come. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm trying to say to you is there's a whole lot who will come and show up, but they don't hear it. Many are called. You are chosen. Jesus said over and over and over, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I think everybody in the crowd and the other side of the voice heard him say that. He that hath ears to hear. Everybody had ears to hear that's there to make death. But he means something more than that, doesn't he? How many times as parents have we looked into a child's eyes and said, do you hear me? Of course they hear you. You're right there in their face. But do you hear me? What am I saying? When I walk away, are you going to do what I say? Are you going to continue tomorrow when I'm not around? Are you going to continue to do what I say? When a month from now, a year from now, are you going to continue to obey me? Are you going to continue to have respect for the words that I say to you? Do you hear me? That's what that means. And that's what Christ is trying to say to these people who are following him, who only see him as some kind of a sign. That's what really gets under my skin, is those who preach prosperity preaching. Those who only preach the benefit. Oh, you come to Jesus, you can have this, you can have that, he's going to fix this problem and that problem. Goes against what he says. He says, in this world you shall have tribulation. Does that mean everybody that's saved is going to be miserable? No. But everybody that's saved is going to face tribulation in their life. And when it gets hard, you really need him. And if you don't have a relationship with him, guess what? When the troubles hit, where's Jesus? Where is he? I need him. I don't feel like I can get a hold of him. Well, guess what? It's kind of hard to feel close to somebody you haven't been close to, isn't it? say you've got a best friend. I know I'm going to get back to preaching in a minute in the scripture. So let's say you've got a best friend. And let's say that best friend, you have talked to him in weeks and weeks and weeks and months. And I mean, a distance has grown between the two of you. And then something happens to you. Well, I wish I could talk to you, but I'm still here, but I'll bring something along. You feel weird because you hadn't talked to him. I just don't feel a little close right now. Okay, same thing goes with Jesus. You need to have a relationship with him where you talk to him every day. The only thing that's going to keep you from that, my friend, is sin in your life. When you let sin build up in your life, are you going to ever get to where you don't sin? Yeah, someday we'll get out of the body. But you're going to sin. You're going to fail God. You're going to have to realize that that's part of walking with Jesus. That you're not perfect, but when you fall down, guess what? He'll lift you up and get and dust you off and say, come, let's go. Let's go. Stay with me. Keep your eyes on me. You fell down, but I'll love you. Come on, let's go. You've got to stay with him, walking with him. You've got to continue to listen to him. You'll never learn it all. Okay, Jesus, I'm good. Thank you for all that information. I'm going to take care of my life now. If you think you can do that, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. I'm not calling you an idiot. I'm just describing what you are. If you think you can do it without his wisdom, if you think you can somehow absorb the sum of God's holy wisdom into your brain and retain it, you have lost your mind. It's a constant watching. Because faster, listen to me, faster than you're putting the Word of God, listen, don't miss this, it's important. Faster than you're putting the Word, are you hearing me? Faster than you're putting the Word of God into your mind, you're putting the world into your mind. There's a battle going on for your mind. There's a battle going on for your heart. There's a battle going on in your life for the control of you. That Satan wages war against the saints constantly. We need the Lord. So he said to these people in verse 27, he told them, he said, labor not for the meat which perishes. It'll be gone. You're going to eat and it's gone. But for the meat, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He said, labor to get me. Labor to get what I do in your life. Labor to get my presence with you. He said, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. He said, I am the source of all that your soul needs for nourishment. I am the source for all that your brain needs for wisdom. I'm the source for all the power that you don't have. He said, for him that God the Father sealed. God the Father has put his seal of approval on Jesus. He is all you will ever need. All you ever need. Then they said unto him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What can we do, Jesus? What can we do? Didn't he just say, I am all you need? That's what he just said. I'm all you need. Well, what can we do? And you go to half a dozen churches in this town, and you say, how do I get saved? Well, you got to do this. You got to be good. You got to listen. That's bull. That's bull hockey, bull fucking, whatever the word is. My hind leg. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting to think that you can do anything. Jesus paid it all. We just sang it a while ago. They said, well, you can only say that because he did everything. You can't do anything but believe and trust and walk. And you won't ever do it. You won't ever work the works of God unless he works them through you. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. That you believe on him that whom he has sent. So believe it. It's not you working. If you believe it, and trust in you. They didn't believe. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? What miracles are you doing? Hey, they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they try to pull the Old Testament out and preach to it a little bit from his own Bible. That's what they were doing. They were trying to give him some scripture, rebut him with scripture. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have that ye also have seen me and believe not. He said, what? We were on that hillside. You saw me, you didn't believe. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What does he mean, come to me? He means believe on me. He means look to me for their all in all. Look to me for their salvation. Look to me for their strength. Look to me for their wisdom. Look to me for their help. Look to me for their power. I will never say to you, you can't have me and get away. He said, I'll never do that. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So he ain't going to lose a single one ever got saved, ever. That's his word, not mine. That's not some preacher. That's not some philosopher. That's Jesus Christ who paid the debt beyond another. This is the will of him that which has sent, I'll get right in it. I'm stuttering this morning. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You hear that? Everyone that sees the Son and believes on him. How about work? And then the Jews murmured at him. They got started griping and complaining about it. Because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. What is he talking about? Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know him. We know his father and mother. How is it that he said, I came down from heaven? This guy's lost his mind. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Hush! Quit crying and complaining. That's what he's saying. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw you. You can't work your way to me. You can't come to me any other way. You know what he's saying to them? You're lost. You can't hear me. You can't see me. Oh, yeah. You hear a voice and you see a man. Can't hear me. You don't hear me down deep where you need to hear me. You don't realize you're lost. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking, but you can't hear him. He's knocking, but you won't open the door. That's what he's saying. And I wonder how many people this morning are sitting in pews looking at a preacher, and they see him, and they hear him, but they can't hear the gospel message because they harden their heart against God. And they decided they want to do things their way. They want to live how they want to live. They want to fulfill their plan. They don't care about what God is. They don't care what God's plan is for them. They don't care what God wants to do with them. They've made up their mind they're going to live however they want to live, and Jesus will just have to come along for the ride if he's going. That's their attitude. There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. More than you could ever imagine. More than there are of us, I fear, that believe. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Lord knows I'm not. I'm a mess. But I'm saved by His grace, and I believe, and I trust Him. He said it's written, verse 45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Believe on him. That's what one has to do. They got to quit believing in their own way. They got to quit believing in themselves. They got to quit believing in this world. They got to quit believing that they are right. And they've got to realize that they're wrong before God. To be for forgiven and cleansed before God. They have to humble themselves before God. They have to hear that. People that don't hear that get mad.
They say, I don't want to come back with that preacher again. I don't care. I'm going to say, everybody's gone to the bathroom. I'm going to say in a minute, will ye also go away before I can get this? Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That manna didn't do them a whole lot good, did it?
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, but a man may eat thereof and not die. I am that living bread. I am the living bread which cometh, that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And they blew, that blew their minds. They couldn't get it. They didn't receive it. That just made them even more angry. And so the Jews therefore strove among themselves. That word strove there means they started arguing. They all started arguing, talking to each other, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? This is the most preposterous thing I've ever heard in my life. This is ridiculous. You mean I got up in the morning and put on clothes and walk out here to hear some crazy proclamation such as this? I mean, they were just all just wild up. Like a riot going on out there. Because he said, and above all that, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. To that arguing, fussing crowd, he said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Abiding.
That's what he's describing. The abundant life, abiding in Christ, being knit together with him.
This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. All the while that hollering and screaming mass is going on, Jesus is preaching that above their voices. And I dare say that the majority of the crowd was all bent out of shape,
but there were some who heard. In the midst of all the chaos and confusion, there were some honest souls who stood there listening and received what he said. He said, how can they receive that his flesh is meat and his blood is drink? Because they realized he was speaking in figures and terms. He was not speaking in literal terms that they were to become cannibals like these Jews believed that he was speaking in. They thought they were saying, you got to turn into a cannibal and physically devour my flesh and my blood to be saved. They could not hear because they did not want to hear. They wanted to be who they wanted to be and think what they wanted to think and do what they wanted to do. And they wanted some little list of do's and don't lists that they could follow and get to heaven. They didn't want to hear that they needed this man who God had sent because that took faith. They didn't have it. And they couldn't hear it. They could see, but they couldn't see. They could hear it. Now listen, don't get to the day. Let's pray.
Father, I ask you now to help me next few moments. Lord, help me. It won't take us long, but Father, I pray that you'll help me over the next few moments. Lord, give me power. Give me, Lord, the truth as clearly as I can portray it. Father, I pray for each and every one, each and every ear that's listening this morning. I pray, Lord, that they would have ears to hear. And they would have eyes to see Christ. I pray, Lord, that the messenger not get in the way of the message. Lord, I pray that each one that listens to me, Lord, they may not like the tone of my voice. They may not like the words that I choose to use to describe things. Lord, they may not like my accent. Whatever the problem may be with me, Lord, don't let it get in the way. I pray, Father, that Lord, you magnify and glorify Christ above all. Save souls today. Let Jesus be glorified, and I pray it in his name. Amen.
Verse 63. many, therefore, okay? He said all that in the synagogue. That all went on in the synagogue. All in Capernaum. All, and listen, where Capernaum, that's the phone button. Where it started out of. That's where they all got to know him in the synagogue. That's where he came and he read out of Isaiah and announced that he was there. So everybody's in an uproar. Wait a minute, we know what mom and daddy, blah, 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 blah. Busting and carrying on. He ain't none of that carpenter boy. This man ain't never had nothing. Look at his back knee and getting above everybody else. I mean, they were just. Anything, everything, you could like that. Listen to this. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard place. Who could hear it? Now, Jesus, we were with you, and we've been following you for a while. We haven't complained. We haven't murmured. We've been obedient. We have come all this way with you, and now you come out with something like that. That don't make any sense. You done said something. We can't hear it. We don't understand. That don't make any sense, though. I just wonder, could it be that was the influence of the multitude in the synagogue? Could it be that peer pressure, because everybody else felt different? Everybody else began to run him down and put him down, that even his disciples, some of them, you realize we're not talking about the 12 here. We're not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Andrew, Mark, Tommy. We're not talking about all of them. We are talking about the massive crowd that has followed him around. And I mean following him all, everywhere he goes. The massive crowd that follows him. These people have been faithful. These people have told others and brought others. But now they see all these religious folks, found people they've known for a long, long time, go way back with them, got family in their prime, history, everything else, probably education, every job. They've known these people are here every day. And these people have started to say, wait a minute, this guy is making no more sense. Maybe he's crazy. He's talking about cannibalism. Y'all hear him? Don't you know that went all over town that day? This guy's talking about cannibalism. But you can't hear what he's saying. You take a lost man who's got one salvation, he ain't got no interest in Jesus, and you tell him he needs to be washed in a man's blood, and he says, you're out of your mind. Are you some kind of freak? What kind of horror story are you pushing, buddy? Gonna wash me in a man's blood. When you're not interested in the truth, you go over there and the world say it's crazy. And that's just crazy. It was good for them, Jesus, but you know what? I don't know how anybody could believe. This is a hard thing. Who can hear it? How can anybody believe that?
That's what that says.
How can anybody believe that? So at that point, they begin to doubt everything you said.
How could they do that? They were following him.
Lots of people said they're following him, they don't follow him. To walk away from him.
I know there are people who wander off from him, but they come back and they repent and they follow him. Yes, I realize that happened. That happened to me. I didn't lose my salvation, but I certainly wandered out of God's will. But you know what? He came to where I was at. He broke my leg and brought me back and set me by his side and he kept me next to him and he nourished me. And now I don't want to walk away from him. I understand there are people like that. And you know what? And maybe some of these did eventually. But for right now, I can tell you, I didn't walk away from him because of it. and maybe some of these did too. But some of them said it's words. I think that's the word. Words too hard. I don't know. Maybe they didn't get it. Maybe they weren't saved. Maybe it's just they were. They called themselves disciples. They were willing to be obedient. They were willing to follow. But when it came right down to it, they really weren't getting it.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a little of both. Who can hear this? This is not. I mean, nobody can do this. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. So they complained. He looks at them and he says, does this offend you? And he says, if this is going to offend you, he says, what in it? You shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before. He's talking about his distinction. Is that going to offend you too? He's saying that you got to understand. Though we are living in a material world, you need to realize it's not beyond this material world. I didn't come to save you from this material world. I came to save you from what will happen to you in the world to come if you don't believe we'll be in this material world right now. He said it's the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit of God that makes alive, is what he's saying. It's the Spirit of God that brings you to life. Listen, it's nothing you can do. You have to come to God and get born again and have the Spirit of God bring your spirit to life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. If you're not a believer, even though you might make a good argument to somebody, if they are not a believer, you might explain to them truth. If God, the Holy Ghost, is not interpreting what you're saying into their heart and their soul, they will not receive it. They can even sit there and nod their head and say, oh, yes, I'm hearing you, and yes, I'm believing. They can say that and make a positive affirmation that they are truly saved now just to get you off their back. That has happened to me at doorsteps more times than I can count. How do you know? Because they never showed any interest of anything of God after that. That's how. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Spirit makes you alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. It won't do you any good. Anything you do in this flesh will not do you any good. You can't work one single work to make God happy. That's the thing you've got to realize. There's nothing you can do. Well, I'll be nice and bad, blah, blah. You can't do that without God. Do you realize when he says the fruits of the Spirit? Do you realize why he lists those? Because those are good things that we can only do if he's in us. Wait, don't lost people love their kids? I think they have an emotion. But do they truly love them like we love our children? Those of us who know Jesus, know the love of God, do they truly love them on that level? I do not believe so. And they can argue with me all day long. But God is love. And how can you truly love without him? Because I tell you know how to do? I tell you how. Because God put a natural instinct in every mother to love the child. Just like he put it in a mama cow. Just like he put it in a mama sheep, just like he put it in a mama dog. Listen, God put the instinct in a mother to love their child. He put the instinct into a human father and an animal father to protect their young. It's an instinct, but a true love only comes from God. Flesh can't do nothing to corrupt. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. They come from him. You can't get that in this world. You can't get the truth in this world. You get it from him. It comes from another world other than this one. It comes from heaven. He said, but there are some of you that believe not. He's talking to his disciples now. He's not talking to the religious multitude up in the temple and all the hangers-on and the followers. He's talking to those who've been walking with him. He said, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray them. Well, he's talking about Judas. No, he's talking about Judas much more. He's just talking about Judas. They. Jesus ain't they. See, God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the end from the beginning. And there's everything in the middle. He knows every detail about everything. He knew it from the beginning. He knew when I would get saved. And he knew everything. He knows when I would be born. He knew when I would get saved. He knows when I'm going to die. He knows everything else, too. He knows everything. He knows that about all of y'all. He knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. You know what? You and I don't know that. See, that's where hyper-Calvinism comes from. Somebody reads that and they say, see there, God already knows he's going to be saved. You ain't going to be saved, so we don't even have to worry about evangelism. We don't have to worry about telling anybody, because God already knows he's going to be saved. There's no point in us doing this thing. We'll just preach it over and over Sunday after Sunday to ourselves, and we don't tell anybody else about the false, but God's already got all that lined out. That's not what it says. He also said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel, and preach it. So how? Why would he say that if you already know who's going to get saved? Guess what? He called us to do the work. That's why. And he'll do the work in us, through us. And we have to look to him for our bread and our drink. We have to look to him to be our all in all. That's what he's trying to tell us. You can't do a blessed thing without me. And I'm telling you to go and do my work. You can't do it without me. You won't take your life and do nothing for God and die and face me. That's on you, buddy. But I'm going to say right now, that ain't where I want to be. Because when you stand for him, there ain't no going back to no other life. You either want to be with God or you don't want to be with God. You either love him or you don't love him. I want to tell you something. If you love him, then love him. Because someday, again, when you stand before him, there won't be no, well, I'm going to go back and live my life now. No, that is, you're going to be with him forever. So you better get ready to be with him. But I'm here right now. He's coming soon. It ain't long before he gets here. His world is dying. His world's going to hell. His world's going to get split wide open one of these days. I'm telling you what, it's going to fall into hell. And I'm telling you right now, it's close. It's close. Christ's coming is close. You better hear what I'm saying to you this morning. And he said, here's what Jesus said. He said, I already know. He said, I know. He said, there's some of you that believe not. I know. He looked right in. You know what? He looked right into us. And he knows what you believe and what you don't believe. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You know what that tells me? Don't tell me I get saved when I recommend it. You can't get saved whenever you get ready to. Everybody listening to me this morning, I'm not talking to y'all in this room. I'm talking about everybody listening to me over this internet. You better hear what I'm saying. You will not get saved when you get ready to get saved. You'll get saved when God, the Holy Ghost, comes to you and puts his finger on your sin and shows you that you need to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. And at that moment, you better believe, because you don't know if he'll ever put his finger on it again. And I believe when Jesus stood there talking to them and he told them, he said, I know that some of you that have betrayed me. He knew they weren't coming to heal. He knew, because you know what? God was standing there telling them those things and they couldn't hear him. And he's saying to them, listen, I'm standing here. I'm giving you what you need. I'm telling you. And you can't hear me, you're bull betraying me. He knew that. Now how can you betray him if you don't pretend to be here? Think about that. Think about that. He knew who should betray him. I know Judas physically betrayed him to those Jewish leaders. But if we go about pretending to be a Christian, I'm not talking this earnest specifically to anybody in the room, but there are people under the sound of my voice who may be pretending. They may be going through the motions. They may have grew up in a preacher's home. They may have grew up in a Sunday school teacher's home. They may have grew up with godly parents. I'm telling you, don't we know some children today who grew up with parents who loved the Lord and took them to church, and now they're practicing witchcraft? Do we not know that? Yes, we know the people. And it ain't just around here, and it ain't just a few people. It's people everywhere. And they betray the Lord. Verse 66. From that time, and isn't it kind of odd that the verse we're reading is John 6, verse 66. 666. And what does it say? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. His disciples, those who swore they were his, those who preached about him to others and invited others to come to him and find out that he could heal, find out that he could fix what was wrong. They had been out in the street telling people, you got to come hear this man. He's unlike anybody I've ever seen before. He can do all things. He's from God. Come here and see him.
They walked away, and they walked no more with him. There's going to come a time in America when it's going to become illegal to do what we're doing this morning. It's going to come the time. Listen, we're already hated and scorned by the media. They are trying to push an agenda. And they're pushing it very hard. We are hated and scorned by the entertainment industry. We have been voted out of public life as far as influence because we bring God into it. And they believe it. Despite the fact that the founders of this country tried to put in every document they could that God was the God of this nation and that we were to worship him and we have freedom to worship him, despite that, the absolute jerks of this world who hate God have conspired to make it illegal to bring God into public discourse in many areas. Telling you right now, this world hates God and hates him and hates him and hates him. Because his word is too hard for them. Many. Doesn't say a few. It says many, which means most of them went back. They withdrew. They said, we're not a part of that crowd anymore. We're not going to follow him anymore. They didn't say, Jesus, listen, keep us on your mailing list. We're gonna love you and worship you from afar. Listen, we won't come to church, but we still love you and all. Jesus, hey, listen, we may take our little sign out because we go to such a church out of our yard, but we still love you and all. We may quit reading the Bible and everything, but we still love you and all. No, they said, hey, we are free. We ain't coming back. You're nuts. We're done. With first. Can't do it. Walk no more with it. I'm not coming back. There's a lot of people that. And the harder it is to serve God, the more this, listen, the more this world embraces insanity to kill babies is insanity. To turn little boys and girls into the other gender is insanity. To embrace same-sex marriage is insanity. To strip prayer from the schools and from the courthouse and from everywhere that it ought to be, we ought to cry out to God is insanity. The euthanasia of the old in this country, which is happening under the Affordable Health Care Act, is insanity.
The world's embracing insanity. And they look at what God says, which is true, and they say, that's insanity.
They can't and I can just continue. Jesus walks out of the synagogue. And then behind him, walking out, you can hear the roar and the hollering of the people who are saying horrible things about him. And he walks out in the crowd in the street. Many of them get these looks on their faces and they say, "He's done." And the crowd begins to move away from him. And I see Jesus standing in the street with his disciples. All the rest are gone. They've all walked away. Some are spitting in his direction. Some are hurling insults as they walk away. Some are shaking their heads. And the guys and their wife and children, they're walking away sad, saying, "You know, I really thought we had something here. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry I led you into this." I mean, there are people walking away like that. And he turns around, and he looks at his disciples, and he says to them, "Will you also go away?" I don't think Jesus has a moment. I don't think Jesus was asking them because he didn't know. But he knows everything. I think he wanted someone to stand up and say what ought to be said. And out of that group, only one man did. And that is Simon Peter, which he turned and he looked at the rest of them. And here's what he said. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the words that gave us salvation, the Word of God. You are God's only Son. We have it because of you. Where else are we going to go?" I think we ought to ask ourselves that. Where else are we going to find what we need? Where else are we going to go for peace in the midst of chaos? Listen, you think about what we talked about with Peter on that water, folks. We're in the middle of a raging sea of controversy and doubt and evil in America. Even though it may not hit your doorstep every day, it's out there. And others are dealing with it. And it's eventually going to come to our doorstep. The world that we're talking about right now, it's affecting other people that we love and care about. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And you listen to what he said. And we believe. And we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you honestly say that? You believe with all your heart that Jesus is that Christ? When he said that Christ, he meant, "I am that Messiah. I am that sacrifice. I am that Lamb. I am Him that God promised of old through that Old Testament who would come and die for the sins of all the world. I am Him." Where shall we go? So I say this morning, that's the reason why ain't nobody in my house colored Easter baskets. That's why this morning nobody got Easter baskets. That's why today we're not gonna run around the yard and hunt Easter eggs and talk about how cute it is. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I don't care who that makes mad. I could care less. I mean, you say, "Well, your opinion don't matter." It maybe it don't, but that's how I feel about it. And I have a full-fledged platform, and I'm going to say it, and that's just good. We'll have a listen next week. That's all. Right now, you turn me off right now. But I'm going to tell you something. When I read these words, it makes me know with an absolute clarity. Nothing to do with all that.
Anything that draws away from him, I don't want. Anything that detracts from him, I don't want. Anything that mingles the unclean with the holy, I don't want.
And Jesus talked about Judas here, and I'll close with the last few verses. He asked him, he said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now, he's talking about Judas. He's taking Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And let's just consider that. He walked with Jesus for the better part of those 3 years. He walked with Jesus every day. He ate with Jesus every day. He heard every sermon that Jesus preached. Every time he preached, he watched every miracle that Jesus performed. He knew the scripture. He was there in fellowship with the other disciples and with the women and the children. And he was there in the middle of that. He was loved by the others. And he loved the others as much as he could possibly love them. But yet, in his heart of hearts, he knew that he did not believe that this man was the Son of God. What makes a man do that? What makes a man walk amongst those who are righteous and holy? What makes him walk among them and pretend to be one of them? Do you think Judas grew up thinking, I'm going to betray the Savior of the world? That's my calling in life. No, he didn't think that. But you know what it goes to show me? How easy it is for a phony to walk amongst the real thing. How easy it is, listen to me, for someone to betray themselves as a believer and not believe. He didn't fool Jesus. He fooled everybody else. And since you and I are in deals, we're going to be fooled by a lot of people. You know how you can tell the good ones from the bad? Jesus said that you can tell them by their fruits. Okay. And what fruit? What fruit is the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, mercy, long suffering, gentleness, self control, temperance. Those things in your life? Do you love it? Does it work within you? You can ask yourself that. Who is it? Who is it? I had a man stop me on the sidewalk the other morning. The other day I was going to the grocery store. He said, man, you got 50 cents. And I walked him another, I watched him and another guy, so I was sitting in my truck and I was about to text me. Knew that from hearing his grandma say, I don't know, her mom said, I don't know, but you know what?
God knows. A lot of times those who look like they're really following, thank you. And a lot of times those who don't look like they're following, are. And I can't see it on that side. You can't see it on that side. God knows what's on your inside. God knows whether you're pretending, whether you're a pretender or a contender. You're one of the two. You either pretend to walk with God or you're fighting your way through with God. Only you know. Listen, I know this. I know that a long time ago, he walked up that hill carrying that cross with his body shredded and the ribbons of flesh hanging from his body. Blood pouring from every orifice, blood pouring from every wound. And yet somehow he managed to strength carry that cross a good part of the way before that cross was carried the rest of the way by a man who was standing in front. And when he got to the top of that hill, when that soldier, those soldiers laid him down upon that wooden cross, and they took those spikes and they placed them right at his wrist, and they took the huge hammer and they brought it down, bang, into that, through his bone, down into that wood, and they continued to sink it down, and he stretched his other arm out, bang, and they put that other spike to his hand, and they brought his feet together, and they took, and they went between his leg bones, and they drove those spikes through his leg, through his Achilles tendon, into the other leg, through the back of the other Achilles tendon, into the wood, and there he is fastened. And they raised his body up with that cross and dropped it into that hole they dug, and it went pump down into that hole. And his body jarred with the weight of his body against gravity as the bottom of that cross hit the bottom of that hole. And there he hung with the flies and the sand fleas and everything else attacking him as he hung on the cross of Calvary. The people mocking him and calling out to him and making fun of him and spitting at him. He died there, bearing my shame, bearing my sins, and bearing your sins, and bearing the sins of the whole wide world. And that soldier, after he had died, took a spear and stuck it into his heart. And out came blood and water, showing and signifying that he had died of a broken heart. They wrapped him and put him in that grave. They sealed it. And they put a seal on it. King's seal. Because they wanted to make sure nobody tampered with that grave. 3 days later, that stone rolled back and he walked out. God saying to the whole wide world, "Son, he's alive. He conquered death for you. He paid what I required. Judgment has been served. Your judgment has been served. Will you accept it?" I don't want that, because then you'll spend eternity separated from God. I don't want to be in heaven, know it. You know what? You'll be in hell. Oh, we don't party there. No, we won't party. You'll burn. You'll be in agony. You'll be in torment. The Bible says that the skinworms will eat your body, and it won't beat it up. It'll just gnaw on you. And the demons of hell will shriek out in horror and gnash on you with their teeth. And the fire, the flame, will cook your flesh and your nerves for all eternity. And you'll scream out in pain, and you'll curse God because you're in pain. It's all his fault. Forever and ever. And ever, without end. The horrors of hell, if I can only describe them in enough graphic detail, it's scared of living daylight out of anybody. Yeah, how could God send anybody to that place? How could anybody reject forgiveness? How could anybody in God's face and say, "I don't want to be forgiven"? God's not going to make anybody take it. You don't want it? Fine. We've got a blessing. what? He has gone to prepare a place for those of us who have accepted. And it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And there'll never be a moment of discomfort. There'll never be a moment of displeasure. There'll never be a moment of grief. There'll never be a moment if I'm too tired. There'll never be a moment if I don't feel good. There'll never be a moment of unhappiness, unpleasantness, sadness, ever. And all for all eternity. And I know we can't wrap our minds around that this morning. But forever without end, we will be in that state of bliss with God. And for as long as we'll be there, they will be burning in torment. Say, how long? Ever. This morning sure would be a good time for somebody to get on their knees wherever they're at. Call out to God and call out and say, Lord, please forgive me. Oh, God, please have mercy. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I've sinned, Lord. I've sinned against you so bad. And I know you sent Jesus, you died for me. And I know that he was raised from the dead. I believe that it's done. I know that the gift of God is offered. All I have to do is reach out by faith and accept it and believe it. And if you'll do that this morning, oh, Lord, I'll trust you to be saved. Oh, it's amazing. And I wish this morning somebody had maybe gotten cold in their heart toward God. Maybe somebody this morning had just drifted. Maybe didn't realize they were drifting. Till they look up and realize they've gone a long way. Of course, this morning somebody who'd done that would just say, Lord, please, I want to be close to you. Please forgive me for drifting. Please, Lord, bring me back to your side. Oh, you come right where you're at. He's not going to expect you to find your way back. You come right where you are. Would you call on him this morning? Would you pray to him this morning while we're talking? Father in heaven, Lord, I ask you please for those who are lost. Lord God, maybe someone, even while I've been talking this morning, they called on Christ, they called on him and asked him to save them. Lord, I thank you for their salvation. Lord, maybe there's some right now while I'm speaking, they're on their knees, on their face before you, and they're asking Jesus to be their Savior. Lord, I praise you for that. And I look forward to seeing their face someday in heaven. Lord, I pray, Lord, that those who've heard me this morning, Lord, maybe they've gotten backslidden. Maybe they've drifted away from you, Lord. They're not as close as they once were. Or maybe their prayer life is suffering. Maybe they haven't read their Bible in a long time. Maybe they've been out of church for a long time. Lord, I pray this morning that you break their heart. Lord, that you give them a glimpse of how much you love them, and it would break their heart. And they'd come back, repent. Lord, telling you how much they're sorry, telling you how much they've missed you, telling you how much they want you. They want you to be in control of their life. Father, I just praise you, and I thank you for what you've done in mind, what you're doing, and what you'll continue to do. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for this resurrection morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.